This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Well, today's episode is a rather special one because we're joined by our best friend, Olwen, all the way from Brisbane. So thanks for joining us, Olwen.
Hello.
Well, just to explain to the listeners, we decided we had to have Olwen on because she'd probably be part of this podcast if she lived in Adelaide, because we are the very best of friends and we have been since high school. And I think probably what bonded us was our love of Harry Potter. I don't know if anyone wants to expand on what level of love everyone had for Harry Potter.
I was Owen's first friend. So we met in English class.
Sorry, you say that as if you're her only ever friend.
I mean, out of the three of us, we met in
English. That far off the truth.
We met in English class and I realized that you were actually nice because you liked Harry Potter, and I thought, okay, this is actually probably a friend for life now.
Yeah, it was one of those awkward high school moments where you end up in a class and you realize you don't actually know anyone there. So it was good to see someone who had Harry Potter on their planner as well.
God, those planners were embarrassing.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know if you would be embarrassed by this because I think it's cool, Owen, but I remember, I think it was year eight, and I can't remember which Harry Potter book it was that came out, but I remember spotting you at the launch of the Harry Potter book and you were dressed as Ginny Weasley, and I was like, props to her for coming along and wearing the costume.
Yeah, absolutely. And I did it 2 more years later.
And then we had that incident where we all went, I don't even know why this was a thing, but the library had a Harry Potter quiz, and I remember dressing up in a cloak and you were there. And I mean, we wondered why we were bullied at school.
There's nothing wrong with dressing up as Harry Potter characters.
No, not at all.
Well, I think Owen, we have to give Owen props not only for dressing as Ginny Weasley, but for also putting up with our crap for so many years. She has been a
mediator
and a referee, I was going to say, of our fights. We even went to Penang together, and I mean, the last day was probably one that we would prefer to forget. But
well, I will talk a little bit, I think, about our Penang trip later in one of our segments about what you learn in your 20s. But shall we move on to the first topic?
So overnight, there have been some images leaked by the police that have really rocked the AFL world. They are, of course, of Dean Laidley, who was the former Kangaroos coach and former AFL player. So this situation's evolving pretty quickly, but maybe we should discuss what we know at this point, which is on a Monday afternoon.
Well, he was arrested in St Kilda on Saturday night amid allegations of stalking and breaching a family violence order, and he was allegedly on bail when these offences were committed. And according to sources, he faced 7 charges of stalking, committing an offence while on bail, and persistent breach of family violence order, and 4 other interventions. So it's obviously quite serious things he's in trouble for at the moment. But the most disturbing thing that has come out is the police's treatment of him.
Yeah, well, those photos, I was shocked when I went on Daily Mail. That's the first site I saw the photos. I'm unsure because they wrote down that it was an exclusive for the Daily Mail, but I don't know if that means the photos were first given to the Daily Mail, because obviously all the other news sites have picked it up. What did you think, Owen, when you saw that article?
The first thought I had was, this person, does he identify as trans, and or has this publication outed him?
Exactly, because I think for people who have not seen the photos, Dean Laidley has makeup on, wearing a wig and a dress. So he's clearly identifying himself at that point as a woman, which is new information for the public.
He also reportedly asked to be called Daniella during an interview. Now, I don't know the validity of that statement there, but yeah, it is incredibly disturbing that the police think that it's in the public's interest to leak that photo. I mean, at the moment, the police officer has been suspended, but do you think it's within the public's right to know these things about Dean Laidley?
I don't personally think it's within the public right to know about it. Obviously, he is a well-known person. So, you know, having been a journalist, I can see why there would be so much interest in the photos and in the story. But at the end of the day, it is extremely unethical, I believe, to have posted those photos outing somebody, especially because of what we know about the AFL. I mean, there's never been any player who, from my understanding, has come out as being a transgender person, or there's never been a player that has announced that they're gay or any of those type of things.
I suppose we're talking about male AFL here, because I think there's a lot of female AFL players that have identified as homosexual.
The thing that I didn't like there, though, is the fact that it's kind of like, oh, everyone's outed him, as if it's something to be that's negative to be outed about. Obviously, it is quite a shocking thing because we all didn't know about it, but I feel like the term outing is kind of wrong.
Yeah, and I do think it's a bit problematic because obviously it should be the individual's choice themselves to come out if that's what they choose to do, or not if they choose not to as well. I also think that it, the way that it's come out, people are now going to assume that he is trans and we don't know what he does identify as. I think that's a question for him to answer.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, do you know what I find really hypocritical though? Because the media have come out and they're slamming this policeman who leaked the photos, yet they're the ones who printed it. Yes, I understand the photos may have been circulating on the internet, but how is it their right to then tell Dean Laidley's story?
But that reaction has been really interesting because there have been a number of publications which have chosen not to publish the photos or even speak about the incident, yet the people who have chosen to publish it are incredibly tone deaf, particularly in this time when so many people are experiencing depression as a result of being cooped up inside. And the fact that the Daily Mail is talking in depth in their article about all the different life-changing things that Dean Laidley's been through and his mental state. They're clearly aware that he's mentally not well at the moment.
Well, there is a figure that 41% of transgender people have tried or have successfully committed suicide.
Absolutely, and that compounds the fact that, yeah, he is in police custody at present.
I suppose we've also got to think about the fact that he has got three children and estranged wife, plus the girlfriend that has been allegedly stalked. So there are a lot of people that are involved in this scenario, not just him.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to say, has anyone seen the latest from Sam Newman? Because he's come out and he's slammed the police for the alleged leaked photo. Because I was kind of surprised to see what Sam Newman said, because people who watch the Footy Show will know Sam Newman is often outspoken on issues like this, and he's not really the most politically correct person.
What did he say?
Oh, he said it's awful what's happened, and he slammed the police for leaking the photos, saying it was no one's business. But it made me think, if this was 5 years ago or even 10 years ago, would it be fodder for the Footy Show, these kind of pictures?
I do think that that's a really valid point, because if you look at the same-sex marriage vote, which I think was very good that it was successful, so I think if you look at the way that times are changing, that it is quite likely that things would have been different then.
Yeah, exactly right. And it made me think about, so I believe it was in 2015 when Bruce Jenner came out as transgender and obviously transitioned into Caitlyn Jenner, and the way the media covered that. And it was pretty interesting because I read a quote from a transgender writer and activist called Jen Richards, and she said that the overall tone of the coverage she found was very dehumanizing to Caitlyn Jenner. And I kind of felt the same thing when I was looking at the coverage, particularly on the Daily Mail of the Dean Laidley incident. Particularly in an article they released 5 hours ago where they were trying to make up excuses as to why Dean Laidley's had this fall from grace and bringing up incidences that we don't even know have anything to do with it. Like,
well, they were calling him troubled, and it kind of seemed like they were intertwining the fact that he's dressed as a woman, which means he's troubled. The connotation was that if you're transgender or a crossdresser, you must be troubled. I mean, obviously it is relating to the incidences that took place as well, but that seemed like the connotation on it to me.
Yeah, I feel like they were trying to delegitimize the fact that he is transgender. I think it was kind of like,
or maybe
this is, yeah, that maybe this is just a phase that...
To play devil's advocate, though, looking at the photos, it's a big shock to people. I feel like a lot of people would go, oh, gosh, what's happened? Because the last time we've seen him, he was on a football field coaching the North Melbourne Football Club. And now we're seeing him in custody dressed as a woman. So while I can completely understand what you guys are saying, and I fully respect that, it would be a shock to some people, just being honest. I mean, some people would be, when I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh. And then I just immediately felt so sorry for him that he was being outed in such a way.
Do you know what my initial thought was? Because football is obviously such a masculine thing, I assume when I saw the photos that maybe, because I saw the stalking charges, I thought maybe he was dressed in disguise so he wasn't seen. I didn't even click.
I actually thought that too.
Or one of the Footy Show end of year things, you know, the what is it?
Well, a lot of footballers are known to dress up on a Mad Monday and wear women's clothing and that sort of thing. So I was wondering if there was some crossover. But then again, obviously with the COVID-19 lockdown, people aren't going to pubs or... Yeah, it was very surprising, to be honest, when it came out.
As someone who isn't a football fan, Owen, what did you make of the incident? Is this someone, like, is Dean Laidley someone that has come across your radar before?
Not hugely, to be honest, but I do know enough about football to know that it's, I guess, a hyper-masculine sport. I mean, I actually think it's great that there's a now in AFLW league.
Don't start that debating.
But I guess they... from a non-football supporting perspective, I guess when I read this, I was instantly worried because I thought that's something. If that is the case, if he does identify as trans, I thought that he's going to find things very difficult potentially.
Yeah. And I think that is a worry. And I think moving forward from a journalistic perspective, I think that it's really important. Obviously, we've said that there is an appetite for this type of story to be printed, unfortunately. But I do think that journalists have a responsibility to be sensitive around the reporting of transgender people if that is in fact what Dean Laidley identifies as.
Well, former player manager Ricky Nixon, he came out on Twitter and he said, guess who's the least surprised person in Australia about Dean Laidley, which I thought was pretty interesting because you may not know this, Owen, as someone who doesn't follow football, but he has been in the papers probably 10 years ago for having an affair with a teenager. So I think it's quite funny that it's interesting to see how people in the AFL community are reacting, particularly him who has been surrounded by such controversy before. You think he'd have more sensitivity than to weigh in on this subject?
Is he trying to prove that he never outed him? You know what I mean? Like, oh, I knew and no one else knew and now look what's come out.
I think he's just trying to remain relevant.
Before we wrap up, can I just say this might interest some listeners because coming from a journalistic perspective, it made me think about how my old boss, Terry Plain, would have handled it. So he was a news director and a lot of those the decisions about what makes the news fell in Terry's hands. And I would assume that he would not have ran anything. They have lots of meetings to decide what actually makes the news. And if you read the journalism ethics, this is a story that shouldn't have made it to print. Regardless of if people were talking about it online, surely the police have the powers to block some of those websites or threaten the people who are spreading it. Like, how does it get to the stage where it's actually printed? That's what I find disturbing.
Well, especially last year when we saw the death of Danny Frawley. I mean, obviously this wasn't something that was, you know, pushed by the press, but I think we really need to be sensitive, particularly about men's mental health at the moment as well. It's such a troubling thing when you see the stats of how high the suicide rates are for men.
Well, we should probably move on to our pit and peak of the social media week. Now, Soph, Carol Baskin has popped up again. Can you fill us in?
Yeah, well, this was pretty funny. So YouTubers Josh Peters and Archie Manners, they have secured the first interview with Carol Baskin since Tiger King wrapped up. Now, it is pretty crazy the lengths that they went to get this interview. So they actually tricked Carol Baskin that they were part of Jimmy Fallon from The Tonight Show's team. So they contacted her, said they were from a production company, kind of got her to trust them, had a few phone calls and set up a Zoom call between her and what she thought was Jimmy Fallon, which was actually a black screen. And they had managed to clip up grabs from different interviews he'd done with other people on the show. So he spoke to Steve Irwin's son about Big Cats. So they got a couple of grabs from there. Anyway, they pretended that Jimmy's screen had gone black so she could only see the producer speaking.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, Carol didn't go into any of the controversy. She did talk a lot about the Big Cats and was pushing a charity, but it was pretty crazy because these guys are actually the two men that also tricked Katie Hopkins, the royal advisor, about the fake CUNT award.
Oh, wow. She is going to have so many trust issues going out of this Tiger King thing. Because, I mean, obviously the original producers of Tiger King really did trick her and her husband into being involved in this. So,
can I just say, Soph, I'm so proud of you. I don't think you said the word Joe Exotic, but you've been calling him Exotic Joe for the past like 5 weeks. So I'm very proud that you didn't slip that in.
What was your opinion on Carol Baskin, Owen? Because I felt like you were quite sensitive to the way she was, well, not sensitive, but like I was kind of, you know, calling her a bitch and stuff. But I feel like you felt more sorry for the way that she was portrayed in that series.
I don't know. I just felt like, I mean, the thing that stuck out for me with Tiger King is just the horrible, horrible way those animals were treated. That was the first thing. But I guess I didn't side with Joe so much. Like, I know a lot of people did after watching it. I more thought they were both kind of on the same level, to be honest. I thought they both came across as, I don't know, a little bit different.
Yeah, it was strange. How people were just idolising Joe and were happy to ignore all of his faults, but then all ganged up on Carol.
Oh, look, it didn't look good for Carol, let's be honest.
I don't think it looked good for either of them.
No. Well, she actually sent a bunch of photos to these two YouTubers to use on the Jimmy Fallon show, and a lot of them were of animals in cages as well.
When will they learn? I was going to say, we should probably move on to the pit of the week, which involves Married at First Sight. I'm not going to use the word star. I'm going to say Married at First Sight contestant Michael Goonan. So the pit involves Michael going onto eBay and uploading for sale his wedding ring and the photo of he and Stacey, the framed photo. And he mentioned that the frame is actually smashed because Stacey, I think she threw it to the ground during one of their arguments. But so he's put that up for sale and it's going for $600.
What?
Seven people have bid on it. But I was shocked because I'm like, well, he doesn't really need the money from what we've seen. But it sounds like he might be doing it for charity because Josh, who was another groom on Married at First Sight, he auctioned off his ring and photo and he made $18,000 for a charity.
Really?
Yeah, I was like,
I think it's great for charity, but that's a lot of money to pay for, you know, just thinking about Married at First Sight, like next year, you probably won't remember who half of them were.
Exactly. And we're going through this economic crisis. I mean, who's just got $18,000 just to put down on a crappy ring?
My question, are they actually legitimate silver-plated or gold-plated rings, or are they just prop rings?
I don't know. I would assume they were prop rings.
They got thrown around that much. You'd hope they were props.
Yeah, they might be real gold. They probably would have broken.
She's the least exciting to look at.
Please give it a thumbs up. Give it a like because it really supports my channel.
You're an insignificant ass hair.
Now it's time for the reality wrap and we're going to talk about MasterChef. So there's been a little bit of controversy online and people are coming out and hitting back against Poe, which is really strange because I've always loved Poe on MasterChef. So
they're calling it the Poe show now, aren't they?
Yeah, it rhymes pretty well. But yeah, so, and which is quite funny considering Poe already has two of her own shows. So she doesn't need MasterChef.
But it has been the Poe show and it is the Poe show, sorry, which is sounding really annoying when teamed together, but it is that way because they paid a lot of money to get Poe on there and I'm assuming she's probably going to take out the title. I think we said a few weeks ago that she's been paid 40 grand to be on the show, so that's where it comes a bit iffy. Are they favoring the ones that they had to pay a lot of money to be on?
I also feel like it's the nostalgia factor. I mean, she was in the first series, which is a lot of people I think are returning back to MasterChef because they have that feeling associated with the first series, so I think that probably plays into it a little bit.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, how this got brought up is one of the contestants, I think his name was Harry, I didn't watch the series he was on, but he basically got no airtime and he hit out on social media. I think one of his followers said, "Oh, are you even on the show?" And he said something about, yeah, he's never shown. And it was interesting because a lot of the contestants like Hayden and Poe and Callum, who have got the big profiles, the show's producers have been sending them images of their food to put up on Instagram, whereas this Harry guy wasn't getting any.
Well, I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, it's a television show. It's made for ratings. Of course, they are going to put the more marketable people on the screen.
Yeah, and I feel like Poe's a household name. I think a lot of us do remember her from the first season.
Yeah, it's all a bit of a jumble with those ones who were kind of in the middle when it kind of lost its way.
The other stuff I've been seeing online is so many articles slagging off Laura, the girl from Adelaide, for making pasta. It seems like every dish she creates, it's pasta, and no one's called her out. And I'm assuming it's because she used to work for Jock in his kitchen.
But she had a pasta restaurant in Adelaide.
Yeah, and if that's her specialty, like, what's she supposed to cook? That's what she's good at cooking.
The other bit of reality news that's come up is, you guys know Harry Jowsey from Too Hot to Handle?
Yep.
The little precocious 23-year-old.
Well, I mean, everyone keeps going on about him as if he's some kind of god. I couldn't stand him on the show. But he's come out on Kyle and Jackie O and said that he'd put his hand up to be the bachelor. This is despite him leaving the show with Francesca, who is so out of his league. So there was a lot of uproar about that. But then he went on to say that he obviously wouldn't do it because he's in the relationship, but he might do it in the future.
Is his 15 minutes of fame up yet? Because I'm sick of hearing about him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he had the personality to be on a reality TV show about people not being able to root, but probably not to be on The Bachelor.
Well, the thing the reason I don't think he would be a great bachelor is because when he did go on Too Hot to Handle, his whole MO was kind of that he was a young party boy.
Yeah.
You know, looking fun on the island until they realised the rules.
While restrictions are starting to ease around the country, many of us are feeling excited to leave isolation. However, there are many who are feeling a bit of anxiety. What do you guys think about the fact that we've all got used to this sort of lifestyle now, but we're now having to go outside of our bubble?
I think we should go to Owen first because she's the one who actually has really awful restrictions in place being in Queensland.
Yeah, so I guess in Queensland they've been a little stricter, as they have, I believe, in Victoria and New South Wales as well. So this weekend was actually the first weekend we were allowed to go out to national parks and picnic areas as long as they're within 50k's of our home. Oh. So look, I'm very happy for things being lifted as long as it's safe because, yeah, I'm getting cabin fever in my house and my apartment. So I was pretty happy with the news.
How are you going to feel going back to work? Because Soph and I already work from home. Have you been enjoying it or are you dreading or looking forward to going back to work?
There's elements of both. I'm really looking forward to the social side and seeing people every day and chatting to my work friends and all that sort of thing. I guess like the comfy clothes are pretty good because I work in an office environment, so I'm actually quite liked wearing my active wear most days.
It is nice.
So I guess there's good and bad for both. I guess one thing it highlights to me is the options for flexible working that I think a lot of workplaces in the past didn't think were possible, but obviously they are because we're all doing it now.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. I think people are realizing that people actually do work from home. So when you are home, sometimes you can get so much more work done. And that's what Soph and I have been saying for all the years we've been working from home. So it's kind of nice for us, for people to be able to experience that. But just back to the topic of the anxiety associated with us going back into normal life at some stage, I must admit, I want everything to go back to normal, but I have personally felt a little bit of anxiety because I'm enjoying some of the perks of being at home and getting that time to focus on, you know, things that you haven't had a chance to focus on. And
it's funny that you say that because you normally work from home.
No, I know, but I think when you go out, you know, you'll go out to restaurants or on the weekend, you'll always try and jam a lot in. But now it's like, well, I've got time to think and I'm planning what I want to do and everything like that.
Well, there was a really interesting piece in The Latch, and it was a journalist who spoke about how she's feeling really anxious to go back into the real world because of the pressure to meet social expectations and the fear of missing out. So, I mean, at the moment, we're all on a pretty level playing field with social media. I mean, you look on there at the moment, everyone's either playing a board game, going for a walk, or doing pretty mundane things around the house. But as soon as we're, you know, everyone keeps talking about that moment when we're told that we can leave our houses. Can you imagine the showing off online that is going to happen? And how you're going to feel if you're not really doing anything that impressive to celebrate?
Well, it's interesting you say that because I think it was in Turkey. There's this awful story that came out about how they ended their very strict quarantine and a girl went out for a walk finally and she took a photo to celebrate right on the edge of a cliff and ended up falling off because she slipped on the grass. So it's, the lengths people will go to publicize that kind of moment. It's crazy.
Shit.
I wonder if the way that they publicise their lives online will change for the long run. I wonder if now this idea of showing off your house and what you do at home will stay after this.
But do you think people like the fact that everyone's on an even playing field? As in, you know, we're so used to seeing influencers, oh, I'm in Sri Lanka, I'm in Thailand, I'm in New York, I'm doing this, I'm at Coachella. And we're like, oh, I'm at my bloody boring 9-to-5. But now all of those influencers, they're in the same boat. They're stuck inside. Do you think that's part of it, that people are worried about what's to come?
Well, that's interesting because obviously a lot of people are worried about people's mental health being stuck and isolated from everything. But then social media and that fear of missing out also affects people's mental health. So it'll be interesting to see. I think there will be some people that are affected in a positive way and then
some in a negative. But do you guys think that's the thing that everyone kind of likes, that we're on an even playing field?
Yeah, I touched on it before. I think it is the whole level playing field thing. I mean, I feel like it's also showing us what is important because, you know, sometimes you think having a brand new outfit to wear on the weekend is the most important thing in the world. And this has really taken away any of that vanity at the moment.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. I think that people's perspectives will have changed as a result of this. I think a lot of things will go back to normal, but I think, I don't know about anybody else, but I've definitely found that you really evaluate what is important to you when you're stuck in your home a lot of the time. and what you really want to do when you're out of isolation. And I can tell you what I don't want to go out and just spend money on clothes or that sort of thing. Like, that's not the top of my list of things I want to do after I get out.
Yeah, that is so true. And I felt the same. Obviously, my life has been affected quite differently to you guys. Like, I've been made redundant from my job. I've had time to sit and reflect. And for me, I realized that I really was burnt out from the last 5 years of being involved in sport. And it has been this weird thing where I've actually got to sit back and, you know, exercise in the morning and go for a walk and kind of reflect on what I want to do. And while that's good, at the same time, it's really scary because you can start to feel a little bit directionless when you don't have that job that you've always had. And then also, I feel like there's a bit of pressure to then have that kind of awakening moment where you discover what you really should be doing, or should you be doing something different? Or I think it's kind of scary, but I suppose it's in a good way because there are also a lot of other people that are experiencing the same thing.
Well, it's really the biggest time in history when we've all, you know, we live such fast-paced lives. It's the only time we've really had a time to sit down and reflect on our lives and think whether we're happy about certain things.
And I think, as you were saying, Owen, it's so true. There's some things that, you know, perhaps I would have felt were important and now I just don't care about at all. Like, I think I've enjoyed going back to, I think what you kind of, I kind of got like a really homely family vibe of what it was like when you were little, you know, playing board games.
When you weren't allowed to do anything.
Yeah, but I kind of like it in a way because I do enjoy going for a walk or exercising.
But that's the thing. It's the first time because we all are trained to have this idea that you have to work. You can't do anything else. But it's a time where we can focus on ourselves and our fitness and our health and our mindset. So I think that's what people are scared about, it just returning to just a focus on work and that's it.
Yeah. I also think about housing as well because I live in a unit. It's not a small unit, but I live in a unit in an inner city suburb. And being locked in a unit, whatever size it is, you do think, you know, I have lived in houses, I've had a bigger garden and that sort of thing, and you really miss that aspect when you're home a lot more. But I never, while I've been in Brisbane, I haven't been home that much. Like, we'll go out a bit, we're lucky enough to be able to do that. So we go out and do that stuff. But now that I'm here, I'm like, oh, okay, I kind of miss my garden and my bigger house.
I think the thing that is so interesting, though, about this whole time is it really shows how quickly we adapt to certain situations. The fact that it's been 6 weeks and everyone is kind of used to this lifestyle now and feeling scared to go back to normal, it's really interesting.
Yeah, you can see how people get institutionalized in jails. I'm not trying to say that our homes are jails like Ellen DeGeneres got slammed for.
Her house is certainly not a jail.
Yes, well, we're not all living in mansions. But yeah, it is interesting because you do get so used to your little routine, and a lot of people will be grieving the end of their ISO routines and actually be looking back at this time and thinking, wow, I had so much time.
The end of banana bread, but everything looks better when you look back on it. It's like when memories pop up on Facebook and that nostalgia, you're like, oh, that was actually so good then, when it was actually, you know, I personally can't wait for this shit to be over, but that's just me.
Yeah, look, I say I'm on the same. I totally agree. I can't wait for it to be over, but I can see that it would be tempting to stay in this sort of situation, ignoring the virus, especially if you had like young kids or that sort of thing, and you have all those precious moments that you get with them being home a bit more. I think that would be really impacting.
I actually heard some really interesting thoughts from Gary V, and he was talking on his podcast, and he was actually talking about an interview he did with Kyle and Jackie O, and apparently Kyle told him that he was too positive, and he said, well, I'm positive about the COVID-19 situation because while some people have lost their lives, think about all the people whose lives have been saved. For instance, there's been no heavy traffic. Obviously, we've had some deaths of some police officers, which has been awful in Australia. But think about how many people's lives have been saved from not going out, from not being hit by a car, from not doing this, or, you know, there could have been a plane crash. It's crazy if you think about it in such an optimistic way like that.
Yeah, that's
like true. I'd never thought about that before, and I was like, that's so true. While there are so many people dying of coronavirus, one of us could have been hit by a car going to work.
In saying that, I think that sadly it's also taken a huge toll on people's mental health, so it would be interesting after this has happened to see the statistics on suicide.
Yeah, well, I suppose for me, I just hope that we take some of the positive learnings from this experience and they sort of trickle through, particularly into our working lives, because I think there will be a lot of people that are reflecting on, hey, that networking meeting that I went to instead of going to my daughter's netball game isn't actually important anymore. And hopefully now we can have more family time because of this.
Not to be all doom and gloom, but I sadly think that with the pressures of a potential recession and businesses closing down, I think that we will return to a more manic work life, yeah. Sadly.
So let's just enjoy our ISO days left.
So we're introducing our new segment, which is called Awkward Turtle, where we reveal some awkward, embarrassing moments about ourselves. Now, Owen, you were going to kick it off because you have a story that we haven't heard yet that involves all of us.
Well, I was just thinking back, I was trying to think of something that involved all of us that was awkward or embarrassing or something like that. And I remember
year 8 to 12, sorry.
That's true. Because I remember the time where we all went to the movies and we walked around the corner into the cinema, and one of you guys, I think, said to me that there were some people sitting in our seats at that particular cinema they assigned the seats. And so I just, you know, got up on my high horse and I, like, walked up the steps and I went up to these people and were like, excuse me, you're in our seats, which is really and it turned out that they weren't in our seats. We were the rogues.
That also I remember back when we used to go to Rundle Street a lot to eat dinner, and there were the times when people would be smoking, like dare to smoke near us. And I just remember, I'm surprised now thinking back to it, that we had the guts to be like, stop it. Or like, I don't know, I just remember people being like, we were so rude to the people that were smoking.
Sorry. I mean, how dare you breathe your cancerous freaking cigarette over us? Like, seriously.
Well, leading on from that, Owen, I remember a particularly embarrassing moment for myself when we all did a girls' holiday to Penang a number of years ago. I think we were 23 at the time. We refused to wear any flat shoes despite being on holiday. Like, it was back in the day when all we would wear was high heels.
And despite being so much taller than everybody there.
And I remember I bought this ridiculously high pair of wedges. They were do you guys remember them? They had these real retro colors. They were enormous, and for some reason I decided to wear them to the market. And I believe you had a pair on as well, didn't you, Owen?
I did, but those were higher than mine. They were the rainbow,
yeah,
like, don't they?
Yeah. Anyway, so we're walking down the markets, you know, getting away from some of the people working there, and I totally stacked it down this little hill. It was so embarrassing.
Do you know what? On the same trip, I recall falling over in Singapore while walking with wedges. We were going over to... Yeah. And I just pretended like it didn't hurt. You know, when you fall and you're like... and you're like dying inside.
I remember falling. I don't know if it was on this trip or another trip in front of a man from Saudi Arabia. And he... Oh, no. I think he tripped me over.
Oh.
And then I was really rude and he was really surprised that a female had talked back to him.
But isn't it crazy though? Because... in day-to-day life now, I just try and avoid wearing any sort of heel where possible. Like, it just makes me feel so old now to think of that.
I know. Like, I don't think I wear any high heels barely now. Maybe to work and that's about it.
Well, that's probably all we have time for. Thank you so much, Owen, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I've never been on one before.
Remember we called you? That was the last one you were on. Just randomly. Yeah.
Well, next time you're in Adelaide, we'll have to have a proper sit-down chat so we can all be in the same room.
I think we should tell some war stories next time about high school, and maybe some stories that if there are any young listeners listening that they can learn from.
Sounds good.
Don't wear wedges or anything like that. Anyway, well, if you did enjoy listening to this podcast, we would love if you could share it on your Insta story. So be sure to tag us so we can reshare it.
And we have also loved that people have been joining our community. There's a few legends in there at the moment. So if you'd like to jump on in and join, that would be great. We're probably going to put up for people to share their own awkward turtle moments. So that should be a bit of fun.
And thanks for joining, Owen. You're one of the members. So people can have a chat with Owen in there if they like.